Greetings from the Super Bowl cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul, where we are being robbed blind by the NFL and by so-called public-private cooperation that relies on taxation. That's what we're going to talk about in this podcast. What goes around does not come around. In the Super Bowl is robbing us blind, Minneapolis boosterism gone crazy podcast 698, the Bob Davis podcasts. We're going to go ahead and head on into the Mall of America where everything is happening here in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Well, before I get in here, I have to remind you that it is really cold outside, and I'm glad to be going into the mall because it's cold, and I know the heating and plumbing and all that stuff is going to work at the mall. Because they check that stuff. So if you have heating system problems, whether it's water heaters or your furnace or whatever, that's the kind of stuff that goes bad when you have these wildly gyrating temperatures where it's 35 degrees one week and 8 below the next. And this is why Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business is important. You want to save these numbers because when you have plumbing or heating problems in this kind of weather, you want reliable service, and that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Let me get inside here. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back four generations in Frogtown. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. And if you're a journeyman plumber or if you're, somebody interested in doing that and you're working on that, think about Ryan Plumbing and Heating because they're expanding. And they are hiring journeyman plumbers. Remember those numbers for that, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Residential and business for four generations, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. You know what I heard? I heard that TuneIn is out here. TuneIn is a service that provides, hosting to podcasters like myself. And, of course, the Bob Davis podcasts are available. TuneIn, iTunes, Stitcher.com. Both TuneIn and Stitcher are great for Android devices. And, of course, your iOS works great with iTunes. But we're also available at blogtalkradio.com. and Spreaker.com and Google Play and many other sources, up to and including the BobDavisPodcast.com, where there is live streaming and all the podcasts, almost 700 podcasts available for you to listen to. I really do appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter, especially Instagram, and I really appreciate your donations for mobile podcasts. Command more about that later. You can make those donations at the Bob Davis Podcasts. At thebobdavispodcast.com. Getting ready to go on a big trip, and I'll tell you all about it going forward. So, yeah, live from the now world-famous Mall of America, famous because this is the headquarters for all kinds of media, television and radio and everything else during the celebration for Super Bowl. Wait for it, Super Bowl LII or Super Bowl Lie. Just kidding. It's the 52nd Super Bowl, and since... In a throwback to the Roman bread and circuses, they use the Roman numerals. It looks like Super Bowl Live, but it's actually Super Bowl 52. Another one of these so-called national events that are starting to drive me crazy, which turn into a national holiday. Here in Minneapolis, we are being treated, as I walk through the mall, to an endless stream of, boosterism. Everywhere you look. From stories on television about hot dish and snowmobiles to all this Minnesota stuff here at the mall, here in Minneapolis and St. Paul, everything is purple, and everything is all about how to speak Minnesotan or watch out for Minnesota ice, a celebration of all things purple. Even though the celebrated Minnesota Vikings did not make it to the Super Bowl this year, it doesn't matter. Everything in this town right now is purple. And, of course, since the stadium where Super Bowl Lie will be held, U.S. Bank Stadium, is in Minneapolis, I hesitate to say that St. Paul is kind of a forgotten city right now. Of course, there is a huge ice castle over there. So, you know, St. Paul can say, well, we got some stuff, too, over here, you know. So we don't see this kind of stuff most of the time unless the state fair is on. Sorry to mention the state fair for people in Minneapolis and St. Paul. We don't talk about State Fair until late May in this state. And we have a kind of award for first mention of the state fair. But every year, the Minnesota media falls all over itself to promote what used to be a pretty amazing agricultural fair and what has become nothing more than an eating festival. Got to keep my voice down because I'm kind of walking around the mall here with a microphone in my face, and I don't want to attract security, but that's, you know, another story. The Super Bowl is right here, you know, and we're doing pretty good in Minnesota because we got the Super Bowl. And isn't it great that the cities has pulled out all the stops to put on a great show for the Super Bowl attendees and the locals? And I do mean that. It is a great show and a lot of great things going on, all kinds of things going on downtown, out at the mall. There's going to be a sort of celebration on ice around Uptown. Everybody's getting into the act. Lots of people are braving below zero temperatures. It's like 2 today. I've decided to come to the mall because I want to talk about something that no one else really is talking about, and that is how much this is all costing us. And also to point out that I am not sure people understand where all the money to pay for this whole thing is coming from. And I have to thank Stephen Malanga at the City Journal for pulling some of the information that I'm about to tell you about together. But to make a long story short, in case you don't want to listen to the whole podcast, from the mall here, basically we're paying for this wonderful celebration that the NFL has deigned to give to Minneapolis because of this beautiful new stadium that we have here. We're paying for it. As Malanga puts it, Minnesota has been granted a Super Bowl as a reward for stepping up with more than $500 million in subsidies for the Minnesota Vikings to build a brand new stadium here in Minneapolis and St. Paul, which opened a couple of years ago. Actually, Minneapolis built this stadium. My understanding is that Vikings owner Ziggy Wilf, who could have afforded something like $500 million to contribute to the stadium, is going to end up costing the city of Minneapolis almost $700 million over 30 years, at which point I would imagine that U.S. Bank Stadium will be obsolete and we'll have to do the whole thing all over again. Now, that includes $150 million upfront for stadium construction from the city of Minneapolis alone. That did not include infrastructure improvements necessary to accommodate what has become U.S. Bank Stadium. I think there was also something like $7.5 million in subsidies to the authority operating the stadium, and another whopping $225 million over the course of the deal. Now, the Vikings, we now know, are worth over $2.5 billion, and we don't know what the value of the team will be to its owners post-Super Bowl, as far as once the whole United States gets a chance to, you know, see how wonderful this stadium that Ziggy Wilf built, which actually is the stadium that the city of Minneapolis and the people of Minnesota built, is concerned. And this is why I call it Super Bowl Live. While you're basking in the thrill of this, all this around us here at the mall, you know, the thrill of taking your kids downtown to walk through the purple-shrouded skyways at Nicollet Mall and over by the convention center where they're doing all sorts of wonderful things, this so-called NFL experience, please remember the list of demands the Super Bowl committee agreed mostly to deliver to the NFL. We don't know, and probably will never know, which of these demands were not met to get the Super Bowl by Minneapolis and St. Paul, because we laid down to the NFL. But if you haven't heard this list, I'm going to have to, you know, just deliver it again, because I want you to think about the enormous cost. I said to myself, who's paying for all this? And somebody said, well, the NFL's paying for it. Oh, no. This is a summary of the demands in a 150-page document that the Super Bowl committee acceded to from the NFL in order to get the Super Bowl. Free police escorts for team owners, use of presidential suites at the city's top hotels at no cost. I want you to think about that for a second. I want you to consider what hotel rooms go for in Minneapolis, as well as out in Bloomington, and then think of the presidential suites and how much they go for. Take that off the list. Those are given gratis to the NFL. 35,000 free parking spaces, which don't even get me started in terms of the cost for those. All revenue from ticket sales to the game. Let me repeat that. The NFL gets all revenue from ticket sales to the game. Free curbside parking at the NFL house, a, quote, high-end exclusive drop-in hospitality facility for our most valued and influential guests to meet, unwind, network, and conduct business. Oh, conduct business. That means businessmen making deals, all at a cost to the people of Minnesota. Local police dedicated to anti-counterfeit enforcement, also provided at no cost. So we're making sure nobody does any fake tickets to get into the game, and we're paying for that here. The people of Minnesota, the people of Minneapolis and St. Paul are paying for that. Installation of ATM machines at the stadium that accept NFL preferred credit and debit cards, along with the removal of ATMs that conflict with preferred payment services. Two top quality bowling venues for an NFL celebrity bowling event. Portable cell phone towers, free promotional space from local newspapers and radio stations like the ones out here on Radio Row, who are falling all over themselves to provide for the NFL whatever the NFL wants, so they can advertise this infamous NFL experience in the month before the game. Creation of so-called clean zones around the stadium and hotel for NFL execs that prevent certain activities, as well as suspend new and existing permits for those activities around the stadium. So there's no local people selling anything. That's all controlled by the NFL. Free access to top golf courses in the months before the game, so that's already been donated to these various executives. And finally, and most significant, exemption from state, county, and municipal taxes. Yes, you are paying for this fantastic celebration, which almost none of the people in this city will be able to attend. But don't worry about it. The Super Bowl, say City Burgers, will generate $338 million in revenue and economic activity, a number that economists say is wildly inflated. Yes, people are coming in from out of town. They think about 120,000. And that's really neat, but most of the Super Bowl activity visitors are going to be us, the locals. And while we may or may not spend money to buy stuff here at the mall or shirts or to attend stuff, we certainly aren't necessarily going to be paying for tickets to the game. So how is it all paid for? Well, let's go back to the probably best deal in the NFL for a stadium until other cities surpassed Minnesota's very, you know, wonderful, obsequious deal to Ziggy Wilf. First, a state-licensed gambling machine tax that never worked. Then they decided to tax tobacco and increased corporate taxes and seat license fees for season ticket holders, which Governor Dayton flipped out about and then acceded to, and God knows how many additional taxes, which we don't know about, which have been and will be levied for all kinds of reasons on food and entertainment in downtown Minneapolis. A lot of people these days say to me, boy, downtown's really expensive. Why do you think that is? Look at your tax bill when you go downtown, when you buy dinner at one of these restaurants where, you know, it should be, I don't know, you know, $25, $30, $40, $50 for a steak, and it's $180. Or it's, you know, $72 a piece for steaks because you're paying all those additional taxes. Do they go into the NFL? Do they go into the stadium? I don't know. But I'm telling you, Minneapolis and St. Paul have an awful lot of problems, city finance problems, and they're raising taxes all over the place, and they're adding taxes all over the place for various things, and it's hard to tell where it's all going. But of course, you're not hearing about any of these things on the myriad of booster sports-loving talk radio stations out here on Radio Row. You're not seeing it on the festive Gadzooks. Isn't this fun coverage of Vikings jersey-wearing news anchors who are just as pleased as punch to be hosting this event? For what? For a corporation known as the National Football League. Remember the evil corporations that Republicans and Democrats like to rail against. Oh, yes, Republicans now are all upset with Google and Facebook, and Democrats are all upset with Exxon and Apple Computer and others who are raping and pillaging. There are near monopolies which are not paying taxes and trying to control what we do and banking their money overseas. And yet, here we are in Minnesota, falling all over backwards to show the world how quickly we will lay down for wealthy corporate sports team owners and especially football. I have to whisper, especially football, because I'm, you know, among a whole mass of football fans. Now, we're not going to have time to talk about this now, but with all of the stuff going on, whether it's Super Bowl or this ridiculous thing with the FBI and the Russians and everything else, the president's been talking about trade protection. Specifically, what does that mean? It means slapping tariff on manufacturers. And if you're one of these companies that manufacture stuff overseas, you may be actually considering reshoring your production or at least some of your production in the United States. And part of the problem with doing that is finding a company to manufacture that's really good, that has high standards, that has great employees, and that knows what they're doing, has a lot of experience. And that is Depot Star, right here in Minnesota, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing in Ramsey, Minnesota. Visit their website at depotstar.com. Depotstar, depotstar.com. Full disclosure, I am not a sports fan. I couldn't care less whether football was televised, broadcast, was only on the internet, you know, you had to watch it on YouTube or played or not played anywhere in the country. Same goes for baseball, hockey, basketball, soccer, and whatever sports you can throw in. But again, I have to whisper because I don't want to upset the sports fans here. But I'm not against sports or actually sports fans. It's actually interesting to some degree. Well, not really, but I'm in, you know, when in Rome. It's interesting. I mean, sports can be really interesting at some level, but I am just not into that. And that's fine. If you are, good for you. If you're into sports and sports is your thing, one cool thing about sports is that it's supposed to be a departure or a relief from all the political stuff. And thank God for the Super Bowl, because we'd be talking about Devin Nunez all week. And this way we get to talk about this kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm certainly grateful to have sports to talk about. But if you're not one of these people who thinks we should be giving sweet deals to oil companies and other corporations like Monsanto, or, you know, Shell Oil or whatever, I don't know how you can bask in this orgy of self-congratulatory nonsense in Minneapolis and St. Paul and doing whatever is necessary to get, remember, it's something you have to get, the Super Bowl for our little town so we can say, you know, we're pretty good. We're just as good as those big cities out east and out west. You know, we're doing pretty good. We've got the Super Bowl, and we are paying through the nose for this. Another thing I hear all the time, and this is why this really is, you know, something that we should be castigating Republicans and Democrats for, because Republicans like to pretend that they don't believe in this sort of thing. You know, well, that's socialism and I don't believe in these things. But I hear this a lot. I hear people say to me, I'm a conservative, but I was for the stadium deal because it's going to benefit everybody in the city. And there is a public space, and I'm a conservative, but I believe in the commons. There's that commons argument. Actually, that is not true. Both Johns Hopkins, which is a famous study that found that money spent for stadiums generally displaces existing revenue. It does not generate revenue, doesn't produce new revenue or more economic activity. And now a Stanford research study that shows that the number of jobs created related to the stadium, including construction, just isn't enough of a swath of what everyone does to generate measurable economic activity, much less growth. This is the argument against economic stimulus, because again, you're trying to produce jobs in construction and manufacturing, which are actually small swaths of U.S. economic activity. So when you spend money on stadiums, when you borrow money to build stadiums, when you tax money to build stadiums, that kind of a thing, and the excuse is it's going to create jobs, studies show it just doesn't do that. So the business guy that you know who's going to tell you that he doesn't care about football, and boy, have I heard that one a lot. I don't really care about sports, but I'll tell you, this is a good thing for the community. Well, you're just as full of crap as the sports rube who just wants his football team and doesn't care how much it costs or who pays for it, because he's not paying for it. In fact, you're a bigger hypocrite than the sports room, who is at least a pure fan, and I can respect that. What's more, there is a whole host of items that we see when we visit our downtown cities. You know, we see all these wonderful things that we have paid for that we think just appear magically. We see light rail. Oh, look at the train. I hear this all the time from people, and it's not just Minneapolis. I hear it from people in other cities. Well, you know, we got the metro, and that's a really good thing. Or, you know, we got the light rail now, and that's really moving people off the roads. And, of course, that was the original claim that has been since massively disproven, so they stopped saying that. Trains do not take cars off the road, people. We see these light rail, we see these awesome new restaurants, we see all this activity downtown, we see apartment buildings and condominiums all along the light rail routes, and we are told that this development justifies the billions spent to build these railroads, which, by the way, are late 19th century modes of transportation in most of America's eastern cities. But we are not told that this development is also subsidized. So the development that you see along the what's called the Green Line, which in Minneapolis and St. Paul, if you're from out of town, it goes from downtown Minneapolis all the way up University Avenue over to St. Paul. And all this talk has been heard about how this is going to generate all this development, and look at, and you're seeing it, and all these apartment buildings are being built. Well, what we aren't told is how much, federal transportation money and how many other grants and other types of subsidies go into building those buildings. Did you know, for example, that one of the heads of a company specializing in this kind of development here in the Twin Cities along a future light rail corridor? Remember, the corridor's been approved, but the train has not even been built yet, and this guy is building buildings. There's two companies that this guy is associated with. And I'll just tell you, his name is Bader. He is not a developer. He is an expert at extracting subsidies and grants from the government to build these buildings, whether it's the federal transportation and federal housing authorities. A lot of these monies are distributed through different channels. I will tell you, I'm working on another project related to this, and it takes hours to sit there and go online and search through all of these different websites to figure out how many of these subsidies and grants and low-interest loans and so forth are cobbled together to enable people to build these buildings. And then, you know, here's a relatively unknown fact. A lot of these new buildings actually cash flow at 25% occupied. One of the things I hear from people a lot is, well, there's nobody living in those buildings. They're half empty. Well, they cash flow at about 25%. And guess who's paying for that? Many of these buildings, especially the ones along light rail, are so-called Section 8 buildings, where a certain number of apartments, roughly 25%, are devoted to something called Section 8. Section 8 is a federal program where the government pays a majority of the rent of the apartment. So you move in to your beautiful two-bedroom apartment building and you're paying $2,400 a month rent. And the guy next to you is living in relatively the same apartment, and he's paying $300 a month because he gets Section 8 payments. The government is subsidizing their rent, and the owner of the building gets 100% of the rent for those buildings. So when they're half empty, they don't care, because guess who's paying for those buildings to cash flow? So not only have the taxpayers paid all kinds of subsidies and grants to actually build the buildings, they are also paying to keep the buildings occupied and cash flow. Now, you may think that's fine, and you may think that's wonderful, but at some point you have to ask where those funds come from, and you're going to find a black hole of all sorts of direct payments, grants, subsidies, low-interest loan offerings, and special tax increment financing done through unelected bodies and councils and all sorts of other things which are erected for this purpose and given to developers who wear $2,000 suits and drive, Audis and so forth to their meetings downtown, and lawyers and everybody else. And they tell you, oh, trains are expensive, but they spur development. No, they don't, because if they spurred development, they wouldn't have to subsidize the development. The development would come. So this is what I refer to as asset misallocation by elected bodies and governments. And at some point, it has a cost. Even the Mall of America, where I'm standing right now, has benefited from hundreds of millions of dollars. I have to whisper because I don't want to get in trouble because they're watching me. Hundreds of millions of dollars here for the Mall of America in tax subsidies since its opening. They just got another $250 million in tax subsidies for a recent expansion. What does that mean? It's called tax increment financing, and what it does is it gives them a tax holiday. So why do we have industry and business in cities like Bloomington and Minneapolis and St. Paul and Roseville and so forth? We have business, so business will pay taxes, except these days, you know, boards and city councils and everybody else is so much in bed. It's called the public-private partnership, and they provide tax dollars to companies, special sweetheart deals to build buildings because they think that it will provide all sorts of tax increment financing. When that financing comes off those structures, they will pay into the tax coffers. But really what they're doing is they're creating a situation where the cities in question are spending an enormous amount of money, and they may or may not get a benefit from it. Meanwhile, Minnesotans in general, at the very least, are paying somewhere around $50 per year per capita for subsidies, and it's probably much more than that because the studies that I've looked at really only include subsidies specifically for certain things like light rail and stadia. So when you look at all of the taxes that you're paying for various subsidies, whether it's at the pump or at the grocery store or wherever, parking tickets, food and entertainment, all kinds of cost of business taxes and sales taxes, you're paying an enormous amount of money, much more than your yearly cable bill. But, you know, people think it's all for a good cause, right? And, you know, that's a debatable thing. That's where you have to use your freedom of choice. It's just people don't understand how much this stuff actually costs. And I think if most Minnesotans knew what the cost is, they would be furious. I can tell you in the long term, cities like Chicago and St. Louis and Denver, I mean, not Denver because it's a newer city than this, but Chicago, St. Louis, you know, Detroit are about 40 to 50 years older than Minneapolis and St. Paul and Denver and a lot of these cities that are really engaging in a lot of this behavior. And it is easily illustrated with one single statistic. As you may or may not know, the state of Illinois is about bankrupt. It's probably a state with the worst finances in the union, and they are struggling with their finances. Lots of talk about comparing Illinois to Puerto Rico, for example. People are moving out of the land of Lincoln at high rates to avoid paying higher taxes to pay for pensions, primarily, and other rising costs in the state of Illinois. Amidst all this, a recent survey proved that there are currently about 63,000 public employees in Illinois earning over $100,000 a year, many of them substantially over $100,000 a year, like a public impound lot operator earning $254,000 a year. Believe it or not, most of these employees that are making this money, and remember, once they retire, they're going to have to pay pensions. Most of them are in Cook County or in Chicago proper, where this is the kind of activity. And I think what I'm trying to say is that Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minneapolis, Minnesota as a state, incorporated somewhere around 1858, the city of Minneapolis, St. Paul's a little bit older than Minneapolis, but Minneapolis itself is not as old as Chicago or Detroit or Cleveland. And so the mistakes that Chicago and Detroit and Cleveland made, partially including doing whatever they could to keep business in those cities, made those mistakes 40 to 50 years ago. So if you fast forward 20 to 50 years in Minneapolis and St. Paul, which already have severe problems with pensions, yes, Minneapolis's finances are not that great. They have a lot of pension problems. They have a lot of problems with city cost. If you looked at the city of Minneapolis budget for what it actually costs to run the city, you'd be shocked. Same in St. Paul. And the clearest indication of that is the Minneapolis and St. Paul public school system. St. Paul is much worse than Minneapolis is, but they're broke. They are not able to educate kids. They're having all kinds of problems. Meanwhile, the Met Council and the region are talking about two additional light rail lines and billions of dollars in something called streetcars, because it's a wonderful thing and it helps the city and it's the common space. And of course, subsidies for development along those lines will come whether local residents want it or not. And it doesn't matter if they're Republicans or Democrats. Republicans and Democrats in the state legislature and people who are not elected on bodies like the Met Council are going to ram this stuff through, whether St. Louis Park or Hopkins or Invergrove Heights or, you know, Oak Grove or any other city in the metropolitan area wants it or not. You're often going to hear legislators sell this to you by saying, well, it's federal money, and if we don't match it, we're going to lose it. So we have to do this. You know, that's a common argument. Or as we did with Republican legislators who voted for the worst deal for the state and for states and cities in the NFL, and the best deal in the NFL for the Vikings, they said, we can't lose the Vikings, rather than trying to do something legally to prevent them from leaving or letting them leave. They turned and built a palace, and now they're building a palace, even if it's temporary, for the NFL, a corporation that we would not extend this kind of a deal to. You know, look what states are doing with Amazon. They are bending over backwards to basically spend money. In Wisconsin, the home of the most conservative governor in the United States, they spent something like 150,000 jobs to subsidize Apple Computer to build a plant in Wisconsin. They are so hungry to get these manufacturing deals to show that conservatives can manage state finances, and they are making Democrats look like pikers for this stuff. Because, you know, Republicans like to criticize people on welfare and people who receive government benefits, whether they be, quote, illegal immigrants or whatever, but you never hear them complain about Google or Amazon or the NFL getting even better deals from states. They have no problem criticizing corporations if you're a Republican like Google, or if you're a Democrat like Exxon, but suddenly they don't have any problem providing all kinds of very expensive subsidies for doing things like having a Super Bowl. All these subsidies, aside from giving an unfair advantage to corporations and juiced in individuals, the very definition of corporation and corporate corruption, government and corporate corruption, the very nature of that, which is legal in Minnesota, basically, they've legalized this kind of corruption. It also means higher taxes in the form of higher interest rates or inflation, which is a tax, and higher costs and prices at the pump or at the retail store for you, the consumer. So yes, the NFL is robbing us blind. The problem is, when you go to try to trace it, it's almost impossible. We just don't know the full story, and the media in this city doesn't want to tell anyone. They want to be boosters, and they want to be bowing and scraping burgers that are very, very happy to have whatever festival is coming in so they can talk about hot dish. This is why I say the NFL and the people that we have elected to protect us and serve us are robbing us blind. Hey, don't forget, before I go, Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, online at ryanplumbing.com. When you have plumbing or heating problems with this crazy up and down weather, they are putting in water heaters and heating systems right and left, because people are finding that it's time. You know, the heating system, the furnace, the water heater gives up the ghost. You want reliable service when that happens, and that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Trust me, a lot of landlords, a lot of people try to fix this stuff themselves. There's a reason we call plumbers. Give them a call at 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, online at ryanplumbing.com. And again, Journeyman Plumbers, Ryan is hiring. You can use those same numbers. You can also contact them at ryanplumbing.com. Well, it's time for me to get the heck out of the Mall of America. I'm going to scoot right over here to Macy's and get up. Wait a minute, somebody's following me. What's going on?
What's up?
Not much. My name's Officer Jock with Mall of America Security. With Molly, just like to have conversations with our guests and tenants, just to ensure the safety and security of everyone. What brings you to the mall today?
To record some natural sound.
Natural sound?
Yeah.
What type of natural sounds are you looking for?
Just what I got, walking through the mall.
Walking through the mall? Just looking for crowd noises and things like
yeah.
that? That's cool. What do you use them for?
I use them for, you know, my own use. I record natural sound, just use it for stuff. Music,
okay.
Whatever.
Music? I just had a couple more questions.
Okay.
Sorry. So how long have you been producing music for then?
No, it's not music. I'm a podcaster.
Podcaster,
yeah.
Okay. So do you, what, where do you, is that like, TED Talks then, or?
Kinda, yeah.
Okay. And you just go around and you film natural places, and?
I'm not filming.
Or recording.
It's just recording audio.
Okay.
Yeah. I travel all over the country, covered both political campaigns.
Oh, really?
And all kinds of stuff, yeah.
Really? How'd that go?
Very interesting.
Very interesting?
Yeah. It's really, you know, when you come and see media events, it's very interesting, because, true with the campaigns as well, it's fascinating what media does in this country. So
yeah,
I covered
that's true.
All the campaigns.
Did you get to go over to the north side?
Yeah.
See where all that stuff
yeah.
was?
That's pretty cool.
A little crazy over there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little crazy.
Did you get a lot of good noise for up there? Or,
you know.
Or sounds?
You get,
is this one like the biggest events you've been to there? Or?
No.
No? The Super Bowl's not the biggest event?
No.
What's the biggest event you've covered then?
The conventions.
The conventions,
absolutely,
really?
Yeah.
They're bigger than this?
Oh, yeah. A lot of media. Like, you'd be shocked at how much media there is at a convention.
Really?
Everywhere. Not to mention the Iowa primaries. The Iowa caucuses get, they're, the entire state is a media camp. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Are you asking for yourself or for security reasons?
For security reasons.
Okay. What else can I tell you?
I just need to talk to you.
I'm not doing anything illegal.
Yeah, I know. We just got to make sure that everything that happens here is touristic in nature.
Definitely it is.
With the Super Bowl that's going on here.
Yep.
So we just got to talk to everyone just to make sure everything's good to go. I'm sure you've seen other security procedures like this or seen other ones happen.
Well, I'm not sure what you're asking me.
Oh, we just got to make sure, you know, that someone wasn't exactly sure what you were holding.
It's a digital recording.
Yeah, so we just kind of make sure things like that. We weren't sure what you're recording. This day and age, we don't want people that are recording things that could be used.
Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 698. Happy Super Bowl Live.